spread, yeah, spread your wings. Eagles, fly. You were born for the valley. You were born to soar in the sky. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Been through what we've been through. It's good to be anywhere except in the house, isn't it? Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Aren't you glad for this privilege that you have to be in the house of God? Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, fist bump them, do something, pat them on the shoulder, tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. Say praise the Lord. I believe you can beat that. Let's give the Lord a real good hand clap of praise this evening. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So good to be in the house of God. Good to have each and every one of you here. Trust all of you made it through the severe cold, bad weather. All right. And it's just a privilege to see you. It's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord again. I believe we're going to have a good time here this afternoon. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request. Several things we want to let you know about today. Brother Daniel, if you come, get ready to lead us to the Lord. Sherrod Hamilton says, I'd like to thank God for my mother's healing. Evelyn Mattery. She is doing fine. She does not have to take her medicine every day. It's only when needed now. She is not out of the woods yet, but we can see the healing process of God's hand working. Please continue to pray with us for her complete healing. So we want to praise the Lord for touching that lady's mother, right? Amen. Brother Al Stevens says, please pray for me. Two or three years ago, I was having trouble swallowing food, which got so bad that I would get sick. I saw a specialist who gave me Prilosec, which fixed my problem. I changed my diet and tried to wean off the medicine, but it came back. The doctor wants to do a scope test for my throat. I'm looking for healing and leading with this test. Also, I keep getting fluid in my inner ear, causing hearing trouble and dizziness. But God has designed me. He can fix me. God bless you, Brother Al Stevens from New York. So we just want to pray for that need. The Lord would be with our brother. Brother Byron Palmer wants us to remember the family of Brother Barney Cabra. He passed away this morning. Please remember the family and the church family of Evening Light Tabernacle in Manny, Louisiana. I also pray for my family, Judy and Matt Keith, in prayer. Remember some prayers as we travel to Louisiana for the funeral, so let's remember those folks today. Also, Brother William Smith is sick this morning and needs a healing touch, so let's pray for those needs today. Brother Keith Phillips has an unspoken prayer request. We'll just commit that to the Lord. I want to pray for Howard and Yvette Collins. Both are not feeling well and able to be in the service today. Also, they have a special unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. Brother Barry English, sick in body. They're asking that we remember him in prayer today. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Want to pray for Sister King. Her blood pressure is very high. She's not feeling well, so let's remember that need today. Want to pray for Louis Human from Peru. He is having tests done on Monday. He's asked for prayers from our assembly, so we certainly want to pray for that need today. Brother Reese sends this in to remember my brother-in-law, Charlie Coffey. His left side is still paralyzed. My sister had to get a job to take care of him. He's trying to get disability. He also had a bleeding on his brain, so we just commit that need unto the Lord today. Ask God to be mindful of that situation. Let me make this announcement. Sister Gail Clark's memorial service will be on Tuesday evening, February the 24th at 7 p.m. here at Happy Valley Church. Receiving friends will be from 5 until 7. So remember that. All of you be here for that if you can. That's this coming Tuesday evening. So we want to remember Brother Sam and the family in prayer as we go through this time with them, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about, you believe God's bigger than all of our problems. He's bigger than all of our troubles, isn't he? Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, if you will. Brother Daniel, if you would come at this time, let's just take these knees to the Lord. Let's invite the presence of the Lord into this service today and ask him to have his divine will on all these requests. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Amen. Sure good to be out to church again. Amen. I always know, I tell you what, I was talking to someone from Jonesboro the other day today that lived down below me. I said, give me your address so I can send all my snow down to your house. But, you know, it's when you miss something, it really feels good to be back out again. Amen. I'm just so thankful for that. I was reading something, and I thought maybe I'd show you what you did this morning. It says, when a person worked for 8 hours a day and received a fair day's pay for his time, this is called a wage. When a person when a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, this is called a prize. When a person receives recognition for his long service or high achievement, this is called an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize and deserve no award, yet receive such a gift anyway, that's a good picture of God's unmerited favor. And that's what we mean when we talk about the grace of God. Amen. We receive things that we don't deserve. It's His grace. Amen. Let's pray for these needs. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be in this service again today. Thank you, Lord, for what you mean to us. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you, God, for letting us live on this side of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor, Brother Donnie. We was listening to him over the internet last night, God. We was in Texas, I pray, or Arizona. I pray, Lord, that you'll just continue to bless our pastor, bless our church and our congregation. And now, God, we come before you with our petitions, our requests. God, we know that there's no distance in prayer. God, no matter who the person is, anywhere in the world, Lord, that you can move for them. And God, we pray right now that you let your spirit go forth for these requests this morning. God, that you move upon the people, that you heal them and save them and deliver them. God, we pray that you'll just bless in a special way. God, take complete control of this service today. God, we pray that you'll bless Brother David as he ministers unto us. Keep us in your will now, God. We'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today, we certainly want to welcome you to this service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service, we pray it'll be a blessing to those folks as well. 1 o'clock service. Just got to have one service this week, but we're going to make the best of it. Actually, last week, this is the first day of the new week, isn't it? So we're glad to be in church, aren't we? Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Look at somebody and say, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Oh, my God is good. I know He is. He's good all the time. Oh, God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. Time. Yes, I know my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. No greater. To sing it like you believe it, church. Well, I know my God is good. Yes, He is. Oh, our God is good. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. No greater friend you'll find. I want you to sing it one more time. Oh, I know my God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. God is good. I know He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. No greater than your think you're going through something alone, you're not. He's got you. He's got you covered. You believe that with all your heart. A lot of folks say, well, where was God when I needed Him? He was carrying you. You just didn't know it. He's carrying us and He cares for us. And you know what? I look around this audience today. I don't see nobody that needs His grace one bit more than I do. And if you look at yourself, you'll say the same thing. There ain't nobody needs His grace more than you. We all are recipients of the grace of Almighty God. You think you deserve to be here? You think you deserve to have a nice warm home? You think you deserve to have all the luxuries of life? You could be homeless today. We could be without hope today. But God's grace, God's mercy and His grace has brought us to this place. Are you glad about it today? Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Oh, I know my God is good. Brother Baker and all of you, come on. He's good all the time.
God is good.
Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. Go greater.
Afternoon. Let's give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for us today.
What a beautiful thought I've been thinking. Oh, concerning the great speckled bird, remember it's recorded on the pages of God's holy word, and with all other churches against her, may it be her glory in vain. For the great speckled bird she's been chosen and has not denied his dear name. With descending from heaven on the cloud as he writes in his word, I'll be joyfully carried to meet him on the wings of that great speckled bird, on the wings back over.
Brother John Cockman had us a song this morning. He just arrived. Are you ready? Can you do that? That works. That'll work. We'll just wait. John, sit down somewhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think of the Cockmans when they drive all the way from Boone, North Carolina, and I was looking on the internet, some of you driving from over in Coburn, Virginia, and Big Stone Gap. Hey, I want you to know one thing. We appreciate all of you. We appreciate you. Amen. You know, some of us, we get in the car, we have to drive 15 minutes, and it's really not that big of a sacrifice to come to the house of the Lord, but there's people pays a great price to be able to come here to worship with us. And we thank the Lord for them, don't we? Brother Joel Brown, I want you to come here just real quick. I didn't see you, but I heard you. I want you to sing a little bit for us this morning. I love this guy right here, don't you? Amen. Let's do that as Brother David Seiler comes to bring us the word of the Lord this morning. Let's all stand. We're going to have a baptizing after the preaching of the word this morning. Got that to look forward to. But let's have Brother Joel sing this song. I'm kind of like Brother Homer Longoria. I always despised this song till I heard Brother Joel Brown sing it. And then I started liking it farther along. Let's sing it with him as Brother David gets ready to come. You appreciate Brother Joel Brown. Give him a nice hand this morning. I forget the words, my goodness.
Tempted and tried with, oft makes me wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, going so wrong. Cheer up my brother, give him the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful to death, said our loving master. A few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will didn't seem as nothing when we sweep through my, oh my, those beautiful gates. Father, along we'll mourn about it. Father, along we'll understand why. Cheer my brother and my sister, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Now when we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from my sweet home, my home in the sky, then we shall meet that right mansion. We'll understand what we all went through all by and by. Father alone we know all about it. Father alone we understand why. Till my brother and my sister live in the sunshine, we'll understand it all by and by. Now when I see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from my home, home in the sky, over the road will then seem as nothing
will understand it all by and by. Father alone will. Oh, Father alone will. We'll understand why so cheer up my brother and my sister.
Hallelujah. Thank you. I believe one day we'll understand the troubles and trials that we went through and gone through. They'll be made known to us one day. Amen. I heard Brother Bram say last night, he said God sends us troubles and trials and tests. And he said he puts bits in their mouths. That means God's in control of it. Amen. So good to be here this morning. While I got you standing, I'm going to invite you to the scripture with me, to the book of Esther this morning. I want to go to Esther chapter 2. We want to look at verse 5, and then we want to, we'll read down to just verse 9, and then I want to drop down to verse 16. I am so thankful to be out of the house. I just about got cabin fever this week. Thought if I hear a baby cry one more time or... I'm here by desperation this morning. I couldn't stand one more day sitting in that office studying and getting all ready. And they said, we're not having church. It's like, Dad, you know, what are we going to do now? So I'm going to try to slice and cut and divide this thought to get it to you the best that we can to get you to understand. So we got about 30 minutes to preach. And so you say amen fast, I'll preach fast, and we'll get done. Amen. Esther chapter 2, I want to look at verse 5. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai. The son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther. Hadassah, of course, being her Persian name, Esther being the name now that she's going to take, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. So Mordecai actually adopts Hadassah, this Esther, to take care of her in absence of her original family. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, the keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her things for purification, which such things as belonged to her. And 7 maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maidens unto the best place of the house. Now drop down with me to verse 16. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebet, in the 7th year of his reign. 10-7. 10-7. And under 10-7, the king loved Esther above all the women. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the other ages. So that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Amen. I'd like to use this for a subject this morning. When destiny collides with purpose. When destiny collides with purpose, let's just bow our hearts this morning and ask the Lord to help us. We're living a great day of collision, Lord. And Father, we want to thank you for allowing us to be chosen to live in this day. Your prophet said of all the days that if he could have chose to live, he would have chose to live in this day. And Lord, even though it's the most wicked age that has ever existed, we know it's the most blessed time to be able to be living. Because you're going to do something, Lord, for the believer in this hour, Lord, that no other age has been able to be the recipients of. You showed it to us by type through Elijah and Enoch. But Lord, Enoch was just my type because Enoch was the seventh from Adam. And we're the seventh church age from the second Adam. Glory to God. And we believe that we're the people that's been chosen for this day. Lord, help us to be able to stand as we look within your word. And we ask that you would take and open, Lord, our understanding. As Paul said to the Ephesians when he told them in Ephesians 1, that the eyes of your understanding can be enlightened. Enlighten our eyes this morning, we pray. Lord, you see the request that's been given to me, Lord. Our precious brother, Lord, you see him there in Arkansas and needing his body. I lift him up before your throne and ask, Lord, that you take this trouble away. We claim healing, for we know it's the children's bread. We claim it in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, let go of God's property. We take it by faith in Jesus Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Oh, how many just needs encouraged this morning? Anybody need encouraged? Amen. I need some encouragement this morning. I just trust the Lord to just come and just stir us up this morning by the way of His Word. Maybe nothing new, things we've already heard, but Paul said to stir up your pure mind by the way of remembrance. I want to start with a couple of statements to get all of us on the same page for this subject we want to look at for a few moments, and I will read you a couple of quotes to let you understand this title. Brother Ram said in The Faith of Abraham, 1955, he says this, and it's always been an amazing statement to me, but I love it when it comes real, true, really comes to life for us. He said, predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks on to destiny. And that God, being infinite in the beginning, He knew the end from the beginning. Therefore, He knew what people would do, so He could foretell what would take place. For He knew what would be. Again, the resurrection of Jesus, as it's been well stated, predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks on to destiny. And God in the beginning could see all things the way it would happen. Therefore, He would tell, this will be this way, and that'll be that way, and this will be this way, and that'll be that way. But being God, He knew it would happen that way, so therefore, He could foretell what would be. And He knew the end from the beginning. That's wonderful. And to think that every born-again child of God tonight that has the privilege and the assurance to know that God knoweth His own. That's right, God knoweth His own. To understand this destiny, it literally means the things that someone or something will experience in the future. It's a predetermined course of events held by a purpose. When I think of this statement Brother Brown makes of predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks on to destiny. We know that God, being infinite, would know the beginning from the end. He would know what would take place, what would happen. He did not predestinate us, push us through a pipe to come out the other side and say, blessed is he that overcome. Brother Ram said, you never overcome nothing. But He knew predestination would come by foreknowledge. He knew what decision you would make when your time on the seas on the earth would come to pass. He knew who would believe and who would not believe. And therefore God sets this purpose, says, as I was reading in a book the other day in Detroit, there in Michigan, last week, and I was reading about this story of Esther in a book that someone had written. And I thought of how that this is a predetermined course that had been set by God's very own will, His purpose. And sometimes God orchestrates things to be able to come to pass for the benefit of you and I. We understand, just laying a small foundation, that when Jesus told the disciples in Mark chapter 11, He told them to go down to a certain village, and when you come to a certain place in this village where the roads would meet together, there you're going to find a colt that has been tied up. And I want you to loose that colt, and I want you to bring him here. And He says, if any man would ask you why you untied the colt, you respond and tell them it's because the Lord had need of him. And I think that how that colt, it was born on a specific day. It was born at a specific time because the Lord would have need of this colt. He had a purpose. His birth was a purpose. And I'm going to say your birth was a purpose.
His life had a purpose, and I want to say, your life has a purpose. This colt was not born to work in the fields. He was not born to carry rice or carry beans or something. Oh no, this colt was purposed by God. His destiny was to carry the King. And a specific time, a course of collision had come to when the King would have need of him. And his birth and maturity would come, and it would blend together at a certain time, when he would be born at a certain day, and he would be led to the market at a certain season. And when he's there at that moment, the disciples would come down, and there he would be just as God had purposed him to be there. And we understand he was purposed to fulfill this. No other cult could fulfill this part. I'm talking about him, but I'm responding and telling you that's what you was elected to. He was born for a right season and a right day to be able to fulfill this part of the word. Now, we know the verb says that we have come to a time. And we are living in the hour of the book of the Revelation where Brigham tells us in the marriage of the Lamb, he said the hour has come. Just like the colt's hour has come, our hour has come. And he said the bride, his bride has made herself ready. Oh my, made herself ready. She's laid aside all these things. Remember, Esther was chosen. Esther was chosen. Esther was destined. Esther was predestinated. Esther was elected. Esther was in God's foreknowledge. Esther had a destiny to be queen. The others was rejected, and only those that was born again that's got the Spirit of God will be chosen at that day, that the crown of glory will rest, will be set upon her head, and the others will be rejected. During this time of Persia, we understand that the king had been showcasing his kingdom to the princes of the land that had been gathered together. And the king had decided that once he has shown his kingdom to these princes, he makes a decision that we are going to have a feast. Now, the feast was going to last for 7 days. Hallelujah. And for 6 days, he would show them different parts of the kingdom, and they would come to recognition of certain parts of the outer courts and the inner courts. But then there was going to come a time where the outer courts wasn't going to be good enough. But the king wanted to showcase what meant more to him than anything else that lays within the kingdom. For 6 days, they saw pieces and parts of the kingdom. But he wanted them to see really the life that lays behind the kingdom. Glory. And finally, after 6 days, it had come to the last day of the feast, which is the 7th day. And the king was wanting to showcase his queen before the princes of the land. Oh, glory. Oh, on the last day of this feast, the king is wanting to show off his queen. He's wanting the queen to be able to stand by his side on the last day of the feast. He wants the queen to come to her position beside the throne on the last day of the feast. Now, Queen Vashti, during this time, she was holding her own gathering together. And she had her own churches that had been gathered together during this time. And she was gathered with the women, and now we understand that the king had commanded her to come out of this party that she had thrown. The king is calling her to come out, and she wants her to stand before him, but she refuses to take her position. Glory. And once the king orders this, this is not something that is just a passing thought, but the Bible said the king commanded her to come. When the king desires something, when the king wants something, the king gets what he wants. And there's repercussions for not becoming obedient to the king's words. Whenever she refuses to come, the king is so embarrassed that he begins to make a proclamation. And notice, once she refused her headship, once she refuses the king will put her away. Now, understand, we know that in type, that the king turned down Vashti because of her refusal to go on with the word of the king. That's what Brother Brown tells us in Marriage and Divorce. She refused to go on with the word of the king. When she refused the king has to move from an imitation of mercy, an imitation of opportunity. Now he becomes judge. He becomes her judge. Besides her king, he becomes her judge. Don't you see the church ages? Once they refuse the word, they refuse mercy. God offers you mercy. And when you turn it down, there's nothing left but judgment. But I'm saying in Marriage and Divorce, you remember in the Bible when the king married Esther, because the queen refused, he just got him another one. Glory. And what happened when she refused to come out with the king and obey him? Now notice Brother Brown brings this parallel, this event, right down to our day. And he says, he did it as it's proved it, as it's been proved in the days of Luther and Wesley at Pentecost, when they refused to become a further part of him by having spiritual sexual affair, to become pregnant with a further part of the word. You understand? She refused. And Luther's refused. And let me say this, you're going to call me something anyhow. So as it is today, every one of them, they fail to take that word. Just as Vesta refused the word. The day that we're living in, organizational queens has failed to take the word. So he's telling us that the king, now notice, because she refuses, because she will not go on the word, the king has to have somebody. Hallelujah! The king has to have somebody. And I want to say this, just as the cult had a purpose and a season and a time. Come on, somebody preach with me. I want to say this. There is an elected moment now. There is a collision course that has been set up. Now destiny can unfold because the church has refused the headship of the word. That's the foundation. We all right? All right. They refused to take him and they become organized. And when they organize, God simply put her away because she refused to go on with the word. I want you to notice that even in Luther's age, they could not become a further part of the word because they wanted to secure the word that Luther brought, and they wanted to stand beside it. Don't let it go any further. Don't let nobody take away from it. And when they stood still with the word, God turned them out. Now notice why. It's because God never puts a period. His word never stops. It's always unfolding. It's always coming to pass. Wesley's age couldn't do it. Even the Pentecostals, they organized and they refused to take the word. But let me tell you, there is again another people in the land who under their messenger will be a final voice to a final age. Amen. Now, after the king rather puts Vashti away, there's going to be a search for a new queen. Hallelujah. Now, not just any church will do. Not just any woman will do. But to be queen, you have to be elected by the king to become queen. Glory, glory, glory. Now, outside the palace, there is a little Jewish girl. She wasn't in the palace, but she was outside the palace. She'd never been in the throne room. She'd never been in the gates. She had never walked the halls of the kingdom. But since she had been born, oh, don't miss it. Since she had been born, she had only lived outside of the palace. Amen, somebody. But I want to say this. This woman that has been born, even though she had lost father, she had lost mother, she has a purpose, and she also has a destiny that she must come to. And nothing can stop that destiny. Man can't change it. The devil himself can't change her destiny. Nothing can stop what she has been destined to become. It don't matter how many days she lived outside the palace. Amen. It don't matter how many mistakes she's made. Don't matter how many faults she's had. I'm talking about you now. It don't matter how many mistakes she made. It don't know how much trouble she's been into. It don't know how many there's been churches, brides. But she's got to come to her place of destiny. She was living around church, but she just wasn't in it yet. Whew. But, oh glory, her cousin during this time, Mordecai. Ooh, I like that. Her adopted father. Can you handle that? A-B-R-A-H-A-M, father, Abraham, father of many nations. H-A-M, father of many nations. Father of many members. Mordecai, during this time, was in position. He had come to his position, and I want to say this, Mordecai had power around the palace. Mordecai had rights to the king. He could speak for the king. He had rights to the king's affairs. And the king makes a decree. He wants all the virgins of the land to get in line and pass before him. Amen. Now, since Esther was a virgin, which is the number one part of this woman's life, you must be a virgin. She is justified to go before the king because she's a virgin. Hallelujah. She's justified in the presence of the king. She is ordained now because of her place. She can go and walk before the king. Now, before you can go before the king, there has to be a time of purification. Amen, somebody. You don't come out of the gutter one day in the presence of the palace the next day. Oh no, there's a process of purification. There's a process of redemption that you must come to in order to go before the king. Glory. I ain't got time to preach all of this, so just follow it. Amen. I said there's a process that has to be done. You've got to be justified, sanctified. Amen, somebody. You've got to receive the person of the kingdom, kingdom authority, kingdom power. You've got to come to adoption as a son. But first of all, there's a time of cleansing. There's a time of purification. There's a time of making glory. There's a time of making yourself ready to come before the presence of the king. The Bible said in verse 8, it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together into Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai, the Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of the Holy Ghost. I mean, Haggai, keeper of the women. Keeper of the women. Haggai's job, glory to God, Haggai wants to keep the women during this time. You couldn't keep yourself. I couldn't keep myself. But the Holy Ghost is the keeper of every one of us. Glory. Lord, help me. I'm going to run around this building as sure as the world. I got 7 days of amen. Anyway. So it came to pass. Watch now. That the custody of Haggai, the keeper of the women, keeper of the women, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him. I just like that. It's because now, when she comes before him, notice what Brent tells us in the message, she didn't use any of the outside things to make herself more beautiful. Hallelujah. But what was within her? What was already within her? What had already been laid within her since the day of her birth, when that little light came into you about the size of a fingernail, it was always in there. But there come a time that it had to come out. pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification. Watch now. With such things as belonged to her, seven maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. So just, oh God, just as it was when Rebekah was going to see the heir, Isaac, she rode upon camels and she had maidens following her to meet her bridegroom. Hallelujah, somebody. Here is Esther, and now she has seven maidens to ride with her. He preferred her and her maidens unto the best place of the house of the women. He didn't stick you in a basement. Come on, church. He didn't hide you in a closet somewhere. He wasn't, they're not, the Holy Spirit ain't ashamed of you. But he put you on display. He put you in the best place. Listen, can you imagine all the rest of these women coming in here thinking, what has this woman done to deserve this? What has she done to earn this place in the house of the women? We didn't get to take that place. We didn't get to have that position. But because of her destiny, she had been purposed by the Holy Ghost to be able to go into this place. Glory! Esther, now watch, the secret of Esther's life. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred for Mordecai, hallelujah, because the prophet had charged her that she should keep it a secret. That's your Bible now, right? So here is Esther. I mean, here is this woman that has come to this position. And Mordecai says, I don't want you to tell anybody who you are just yet. Amen. Glory. Keep it a secret. Seal it up. Amen. Don't write it, John. Seal it up. Amen. Seal it up until Revelation 10:7. And under Revelation 10:1, he would descend out of heaven with an open book in his hand with a rainbow around about him. During that time, he would come down to Revelation 10:7 and reveal who you are to the people. Glory! Remember, Revelation 5, the book was sealed. Revelation 10, the book came open. And when the book came open, listen friend, it's not a natural book, but the book is the identity of your life, of who you are. Don't tell nobody who you are. There's going to be a lot of women that's around that's going to make claims. Amen, somebody. They're going to make claims that they're the ones. They're going to make claims that they're the ones. But I want you to keep it a secret. Don't tell nobody. Don't tell nobody what's going on just yet. Amen. Amen. Oh, there was a lot of women in the kingdom. But Esther was the only one who had a prophet that was getting her ready to meet the king. Glory to God. Don't you see? There was a lot of churches, a lot of different churches, a lot of different women that says they have a claim upon it, but there's only one who has purpose. And when, oh glory, and when your destiny collides with your purpose, you end up in the throne room. There's a lot of people that got claims on it. They can read the book. They can read the orders of the king. They can read what the king wants you to do. But listen, Mordecai, he knows the secret of the king's heart. Glory! He knows what the king likes. He knows his desire. He knows the most intimate parts of the king's heart. He knows how to make this woman ready. That's why we're not ashamed of this message. Because it took Malachi 4's message to make the bride ready. But David, I don't like that. Can't help it. It's the word of God. Amen. That's why Brother Bram said, he said, if I can just get the bride to hold still, I'll take the clothes of the word and dress her with it. Mordecai knows that a Baptist message won't dress you right. Woo. God, that was good right there. Amen. He knows that a Pentecostal by denomination will not close you right. He knows that a creed will not dress you right. He knows that a dogma will not dress you right. He knows you've got to be dressed exactly right to find favor in the eyes of the King. Oh God, it takes the unadulterated word in order to please the King in this time. Nothing mixed with a man's ideal will please the King. Hallelujah. But it takes the mindset of a King, the word of a King, to be able to collide, glory to God, with the purpose of his heart and the right woman at the right time to come in contact under an invisible union with the King. Then she will find pleasure and favor in his sight. But Ram says it like this in present stage of my ministry. I hope he'll crown the ministry with this. Let me take the clothes of the word and dress his bride in the clothes of the word. And for his, what's that next part? His righteousness. Again, the evening messenger, the messenger hunting the bride, trying to find character. If that man come, a messenger of the last day, trying to find the bride for Christ, he will not look for denominational membership. He will look for character that's willing. Esther must be willing to come to this place. Again, the evening messenger. That's the messenger of the last days. The evening light is first. Find the church. Where will they believe the message? Hunt it. Can you read what I'm talking about? Hunt where the church is. That'll even let you come in. That'll even let you come in. There's a lot of these other women. They had a better idea and a better theory and a better idea of how they need to be dressed and how they need to prepare to go before the King. They would not listen, friends. They would not even accept Mordecai's message. But because Esther had a personal relationship with Mordecai, she was open-hearted to allow that word to come and penetrate her. Even let you come in, that won't close the door in your face. And then when you do there, then you found character. Then you found character. And if she will stand still long enough to tell her, to tell Esther, to tell her that bride's got to be dressed. She's got to be clothed. What's the next words? Stand still. And that's the hardest thing sometimes for David Siler to get. Because we want to help him so bad. We want to do something so bad. We want to try to do something within our ability. It ain't your ability he's looking for. It's his purpose in your life. So Mordecai tells her what she needs to do to be ready. He told her everything she needed to know to receive the blessing. Oh glory. I believe Elijah has given us everything we need to receive the blessing. Elijah has given us everything we need to be able to find favor in the King's sight. Brother, if you ain't got the blessing, it ain't Brother Branham's fault. If you ain't got the blessing, it ain't Luther's fault or Wesley's fault. Amen, somebody. If you're not overcoming in this hour, it's not the Word's fault, it's our fault. But brother David, I ain't got no joy. If you ain't got no joy, you can't blame the Bible. You can't blame the message. You can't blame the pastor. It's our own fault. Everything we have needed has been supplied. How many of those brothers said everything you need for the rapture is in you already? I said it's in you already. It just took the opening of the revelation of the seven seals to help you identify what your purpose is in life. Believe it, I need healing. It's in there. I gotta have some victory. It's in there. Everything that Esther needs is in there. She just has to put it on. Now watch this, Esther 2:15. When the turn of Esther. Isn't that what Brother said in the Church Age book? In our turn. In our turn. I said in our turn. Because of the elected seed that's already put in us, in our turn, in Esther's turn. There's been a lot of churches that has went before him. There's been a lot of different women that has been there brought before him. But now it's Esther's turn. The daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter. It says it again. It says it again. It lets you know there's a relationship. There's a bond between Mordecai and this girl. He cares about her. He loves her. He has spent the very process of his life to make sure she's ready. You understand that? He had taken her for his daughter was come to go into the king. Glory. She required nothing but what Haggai, Holy Ghost, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women appointed. God. Ooh, Lord Jesus. And Esther, now watch. Not just the king, but when she gets showcased on her way to the throne room, all the rest of these men starts looking around thinking, my Lord, who is this woman that's arrayed in this fine linen? Who is she? Who is this woman? Who is this woman that is coming? And the Bible says Esther feigned favor in the sight of, what's that next word? Well, glory to God. Well, as long as Jesus loves me, I don't care if anybody else. Listen, friends, there's such a character. There's such a character that it makes people thirsty. There's such a character that it makes people hunger. It creates a hunger within them to make them want what she has. Don't you understand people around you? They desire the relationship that you got. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto the king Ahasuerus. Into his house, royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, yeah. And the 7th year of his reign. Glory to God. Don't you see? It took Revelation 10:7 to bring you to your position. It took Revelation 10 to bring you to your identity. I'm trying to be good, but it's hard. So Esther was taken to the king of Ahasuerus in the royal in the 10th month of the 7th year of his reign. Glory to God. 7 church age. Last day, last people. 7 seals, 7 church ages. Come on, church. Watch this. And the king loved Esther. There's a lot of words he could have used. There's a lot of ways he could have described this. But the king loved Esther. Are you kidding me? You've never seen this woman a day in your life. You've never laid your eyes upon her. I don't know if you believe in love at first sight, but your Bible believes in it. Glory to his name. The brothers are looking around. How many lights is on that ceiling anyway? Sisters are such romantics and men's just so burly. No, not me. I had to make sure she's the right one. You liar. You liked her when you saw her. When you saw her, you fell in love with her. I mean, there may have been a lot of other women, but when you saw her, she found favor in your eyes. Glory! And the king, look at this word. He loved Esther above all the women. And when you love her, there's going to be some things you're going to receive. And she obtained, look at the word. Look what she got. Look what she got because he loves her. He gave her grace. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Amen. Because he loved you, he give you the very product of his life to give you unmerited favor, grace. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti.
it overwhelms me to think he loves me that much. But wait a minute. Notice the Bible doesn't say how many more is fixing to come. It don't talk about more ages that's to come. Come on, somebody. It's not talking about another day. It's not talking about another Mordecai, another prophet, another bride. But when she comes in the last. I said the last that come forth, the last received his love, the last received his favor, the last received his message. No politics involved. Nothing shady under the table done. Mordecai didn't slip the king. Well, I'm going to give you five. The king didn't need his money. Come on, somebody. The king didn't need his money. The king didn't need his ideas. All that this king needed was somebody to strike his heart. Glory to God! The very purpose of her life was born for this moment. The very purpose of her life was to stand in the throne room. She was born for this moment. She was born for this purpose! And now, here comes walking into this room a woman who is dressed in her garments that is properly dressed to be a queen. Here comes not Esther. Here comes Destiny walking into the king's chamber. And when Destiny stood in front of her purpose, there was a collision that took place. And the collision said, she found favor above all the women. When destiny collided with purpose, she received favor. She received grace when they come together. You see it. He set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen. Stop everything. Stop all of it. This is it. This is the one. This is the one. Come on, church. There ain't no other people could come. Oh no, there ain't no other denomination's gonna fit the right place. She's left an imprint upon the king's heart. And nobody else can fit that print. Glory! She's not another concubine. She's not going to be charged to be given over to the house of the women as a concubine of the king. She's not the king's concubine. Come on, somebody. She's not just another woman. She's not just another church. She's not just another age. She is a queen. Don't you see what I'm calling you today? It's not just another age. It's not just another assembly. It's not just another church in America that dots and takes up parking lot space and pianos and pulpits and microphones. That's not what she is. Listen, that ain't what she is. She is queen. Her destiny is queen. Don't you see? It's more than you just living a life and being here and having a job and going to work and coming to church and having this and having that and owning this. It's more than that. It's more than that. It's more than that. Can I preach a minute? We get so caught up on temporary things about what we own, what we have, what we want, what we want, what we want. Friends, listen, everything you have need of lays within you already. It's not money. It's not houses. It ain't land. It's the Word made flesh in you. It's the Word coming alive. It's when destiny collides with your purpose. She's the king's choice. Oh God. She's not Mordecai's choice. She's the king's choice. Now watch as the drama unfolds. But there's someone else in this kingdom that has been wanting to ascend. Amen, church. I said he's been wanting to ascend. He's been wanting to get to a place in the kingdom. He had so desired it within his heart to ascend above all of the elect. Amen, somebody. He wants to ascend to the highest place possible. And he don't care who he steps on. He don't care what family he destroys. He don't care what young person that he has to trample underfoot. He don't care what has to happen. He wants to make it on the next rung of the ladder. Haman sounds like demon, don't it? Haman was a man. He wants things done his way. And it's either his way or the highway. There ain't nothing worse than a backseat driver. When one person has control of the vehicle, and then there's another person in the vehicle who wants control of the vehicle. You know what I'm talking about? You're driving and somebody's sitting over there in the passenger seat, and you're coming up on a stoplight and they're over there. Ain't no brake on that side. You ever done it? It ain't working. It's because you want to be in control, but because you're not in control, you start going through motions to make you think you are in control. And if you get a little close, you ever roll with somebody, you get a little too close. You miss your turn. Oh, I knew it. You should have listened to me. You should have listened to me. I know we're supposed to turn back there. I know you're supposed to take that exit. Always making them noises. Husbands, you look at your wife right now. We are all in trouble. I must admit, I'm a terrible passenger. I am an awful passenger. The other day, I was in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, preaching a meeting. And the vehicle I was riding in, we was going down the road. And we was in a taxi headed over to the room. And we're going down the road, and of course, they don't drive like we do. Stop signs are just merely suggestions. As some of us will know. Stop lights, if you want to, you can. If you don't want to, don't worry about it. Just take your luck going through the intersection. And we're going down the road, and this guy had come just, I mean, close to almost every vehicle on the road. And I thought, man, this guy's going to kill us before we ever get there. Until finally it happens. We're going down the road, and my guy, my driver, decides he's going to get over in that lane because we're going to turn up there. I don't care how many cars are over here, he's getting in that lane. Until he keeps merging, until finally, you better believe it happened. We bang with another car beside us. I thought, we're going to stop, and the police is going to come out here, and I'm going to miss church, and somebody else is going to have to preach this morning. I mean, I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, no. We just kept right on going. Mirror hanging off, glass broke. And you better believe I was making some noises. Because I want him to know I'm displeased with the way he is driving this vehicle that I'm in. Because I done had an awful event while I was in India where we almost got killed head right on with a bus. And I mean, I'm talking about inches from being down. And if you don't think that scared me, you're crazy. I ain't saying I ain't ready to go. I just don't want to go in India. And he was passing a vehicle. Of course, they just constantly pass one another. The bigger vehicle you got, the more right of way that you got. And we're coming down the road. He decides to come out around this vehicle. And there is a bus coming right at us. And I'm talking in tongues about this time. And finally, at the last moment, I close my eyes. He jerks that car over and I went to screaming. Slow this thing down right now. I don't care if we don't ever get there. I don't care if we don't ever make it. Take me back to the airport. I'm ready to go home right now. Slow it down. But had I been the one driving, I would have said, I got this all in control. Don't worry about it. Calm down. You know how we are. But when you ain't in control, you want control. And Haman ain't driving this car, but he wants to be in control. He thinks he's the best thing since sliced bread. And he don't like Mordecai. I said he doesn't like Mordecai. Because everybody else would come around Haman. Oh, Haman, you're so great. Haman, you're so mighty. Haman, you're such a great man. Mordecai come around and everybody else would bow down. And Haman and Mordecai stand there looking like, are you crazy? Ain't bowing before you. Amen. So Haman knows that Mordecai's a Jew. So Haman hatches out a plan. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make Mordecai look as bad as I can possibly make him look. I'm going to start some rumors on him. I'm going to start some internet pages on him. There's going to be some websites I'm going to start. I'm going to make this man look like he's the worst thing that ever stepped out of the Bible. Amen, somebody. I'm going to try to get people to lose confidence in him. I'm going to try to get people to quit following Mordecai's message. I'm going to have to kill his influence to do it, but I'm willing to do it. Matter of fact, I'm going to kill all these Jews. So he brings this plan before the king. And deceitfully, preach with me right here.
deceitfully he comes before the king and he gives him an earful how terrible these people are and how that they don't pay homage to the king and how awful these people are. They care nothing about kingship. They care nothing about loyalty to a king. And Haman used trickery to get a law instituted. Amen, somebody. I said Haman slipped under the gate and he come into the garden in order to get a law instituted on mankind. You with me now, ain't you? He used trickery in order to bring a commandment of the law by the king. He forced the king's word to come into effect because of trickery. The king says, do with him as you may. But what Haman didn't know, glory to God, is that the Jews was the mystery, but Esther was revealed. Glory to God, hallelujah. I said the Jews was the mystery. Christ was the mystery and God was revealed. And the Jews was the mystery. But notice Esther was one of them Jews, which is the king's queen. Mordecai told her to keep it a secret. And now she's the mystery of the hour. She's the mystery of the day. And when a king makes a decree and brings a law, he cannot even change his own word. God can't change his mind about his word. When a king makes a law, that law cannot be altered. It must be as the king has ordered it. It must be as the king has said it. And he can't even change it himself. And Mordecai hears what the devil's trying, what Haman's trying to do. And he knows that Haman has used trickery to get God's people in trouble. And he knows this. Oh my. He knows there's a law that's been given. So Haman is wanting to have them all killed. And in turn, will also put his wife's life in jeopardy because of the law. The day thou eat thereof, that day thou shalt surely die. Because of the law, listen, the Jews was going to be held in contempt of the court because they are subject to the law of the king. Don't you understand? So when the law comes into effect, she cannot keep this law because she was born this way. So Mordecai begins to fast before God, knowing something has to happen, something has to take place, or the Jews are going to perish. So Mordecai sends messages to tell Esther, you've got to do something. I said he sent the queen some messages. And these, glory to God, and these messages was describing to her what she must do to come to her position. Esther, you've got to approach the king. You've got to do something. You know what he's saying? You must take your stand. You must do your part. You must come to your position. You must come to your place. You must do what you've been destined to become. And he says it like this in chapter 4, verse 14. I'm going to close. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall these enlargements, watch now, and the deliverance shall rise to the Jews from another place, that thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom? Is that not a question? Is that a question to you? That's not a statement. That's a question. That's a question. And the only person that knows the answer is God himself. Because God, listen, foreknowledge looks back. Destiny looks back to foreknowledge. And foreknowledge looks to destiny. Only God knows what her destiny is. Notice the Amplified Bible says it like this. I like this right here. The Amplified Bible says it like this. For if you keep silent at this time. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you keep silent at this time. You know what he's telling her? This is the time that the silence has got to be broken. This is an hour that the church cannot just sit and be quiet no more. You just can't sit in your home and say, well, we believe it, but we're going to be secret believers. Oh, no. This is no time to keep silent. This is, listen, under the seventh seal, remember when the seventh seal come open, there was a half hour of silence. And God told John, don't write it. Don't write it. Seal it up. Seal it up to when? To when? Revelation 10:7. And under Revelation 10:7 was going to be the breaking of the silence. Come on, church. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. Notice, we move from silence to voice. We move from quietness and silence. Now it comes back to the voice. There is again another people in the land who under their messenger is going to be the final voice to the final age. If you keep silent at this time, reliving deliverance shall rise for the Jews from elsewhere. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows? And who knows but that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this and for this very occasion. In other words, this is why you was born. This is what you've been called to do. This, listen friends, the prophet was honing the mind of Esther to let her know this is the purpose of your life. This is the reason why you're here. You're not safe just being around the message. You're not just safe sitting in message churches. You're not safe just listening to 1100 sermons. You must intercede. It must come to an hour of intercession. So he sends her message after message after, come on somebody, to make her recognize, can I say this for you and I, the purpose of your life was destined for this moment. You was destined for this time. You was destined to be born in this age. This spot, this hour, this collision is your destiny. This is your opportunity. God, by divine appointment, I believe this right here, has caused you to come into this message. Amen, somebody. God called you. Amen. No man come by the Father, but amen, somebody. Unless he draws them first. And so Jesus made an appointment with you. And Jesus keeps honoring his appointments. Hallelujah. He was destined to have a collision with the very foreknowledge of God on behalf of your life. You couldn't bypass it. You couldn't bypass it. You had to come to an hour of recognition. That's the problem. You wasn't it in the beginning. That's the reason why you wasn't born right, is because you bypassed it. Amen. I said you bypassed your theophany to come here to be born in this life, to be tempted and tried. But listen, friends, if we bypass it, there's got to come a time that the bypass comes back together. And that's the collision course that you're on today. It's your opportunity. As the prophet moves from the first pool down to the second pool, he moves from the flesh, the sign in the hand of just the feeling on the outside, emotions on the outside, sensations on the outside, down to the second pool, which would be discerning of the spirit. But God wasn't going to stop there. I said God wasn't going to stop there, because you don't need to know your address. Preach somebody right here. You don't need to know your address. You know what your name is. What you needed, oh God, what you needed to know was, is the destiny, the purpose of God's kingdom within you. You needed to know who you are, what you are, what you've been called to, what you're anointed to become. When did it happen? Under the third pull, the recognition of the soul back to its mate. Glory to God, hallelujah. Mordecai done his part. Luther done his part. Wesley done his part. Amen, church. But now it's not Brother Branham's time. In our turn. I said in our turn. The prophet's prophecy must come to pass. The prophet's prophecy must come to life. All the scriptures has been pointing to this moment. All the shadows and types of the Old Testament has been pointing to this collision that was going to take place. It's been pointing to this time. It's been pointing to this moment. He's singling you out today to let you know what you're called to and that you're chosen for such a time as this.
you're going to carry my word. I said, you're going to carry my word. You're going to stand as an intercessor during the hour of the judgment. Brother, I'm going to tell you right now, that's better than knee-deep preaching right there. That's swimming waters. You've been called for intercession. You've been called to stand in the gap. Don't you see? We're elected to fulfill this. It's throne room time. We're not playing on the outer courts. We're not playing around the lava. This is holy of holies time. This is inner court time. Where a people's going to walk where no other age has been allowed to walk in. He's been building this church down through the ages. He's been building it from the feet all the way to the head, Brother Ram said. And now we are not in the beginning stages. We're not at the bottom of the pyramid. We have come to the capstone, which is the headstone. Follow me just a few more minutes. We've come back to the headstone. We are come back to the headstone. We come back to the king's decree. We come back to this place of destiny. And the headstone's ministry, because the Jews are in jeopardy, the headstone ministry ain't legal eagle. It's not law, law. But when the headstone come forth, it come with a message. I said, this is your message. What are we crying out? Ain't nobody going to make it. We're the only ones going. Ain't nobody else going to the rapture. That ain't what the message is saying. Well, you can't make it. You made too many mistakes. You done too many things wrong. You got too many things in your life that God don't care about. You ain't going to make it. That ain't the message of the hour. The message that the headstone come was crying, grace, grace. I said, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I don't know what your message is, but mine's a message of grace. Grace, grace, grace. I want you to think about this. Look what Esther's doing. She's running with a message of grace. Notice this book. I gotta quit. Notice this book. The book of Esther was destined and by purpose to fit into a certain place within the Holy Script. You believe that, don't you? And God chose it to be in a specific place in your Bible, because the mystery was going to be veiled in there. But it took the mystery coming open to understand, glory to God, what lays behind the seal. Amen, somebody. And so God placed the very book of Esther. He places it, think about it, right after the book of Nehemiah and right before the book of Job. Right after Nehemiah, which represents them coming out of Babylonian captivity and returning back to the homeland. Come on, somebody. I said the Jews are going back to the homeland, and the next book is Job, and Job was the resurrection ministry. So just before the resurrection and just after the return of the Jews lays Esther the queen coming to her position. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right between the resurrection and the Jews going back to the homeland lays a queen called a Gentile bride coming back to her position. Hallelujah. 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 Don't you see, church? Don't you see? It's the very next day after the Jews went back to the homeland, the Spirit of God met Mordecai in a cave. And he commissioned him to go and get a bride ready to meet the king. And just before the resurrection, here is Esther. Theologians don't even believe this book should even be in your Bible. They've debated it for hundreds of years. This book shouldn't even be in the Bible. Because they say it doesn't mention the name of Yahweh. It doesn't mention the name of Elohim. It doesn't mention the name of God. It doesn't. It only mentions fasting and prayer. And they say because it doesn't mention God, it ain't got no place in the script. Now let me preach to you a minute. They say you ain't got no place in this church. They say you ain't got no place in this age. They say you're just a bunch of off-scours, a bunch of off-casts. You ain't got no right to call yourself a church, bruh. It's because God has placed us on a collision course with destiny to collide in this age. And all the king's servants, verse 11, chapter 4, and the people of the king's providence do know, whosoever, whether a man or woman, shall come into the king into the inner court, who is not called. There is one law of his to put him to death. The law is put him to death. I love this next word. Except. The difference between our life being lost to the world is God made an exception. Hallelujah. Except to whom the king shall hold out the golden sepulcher that he may live. But I've not been called to come into the king's house for this half hour silence. I mean 30 days. It's death to approach the king unannounced. The law would bind her from approaching the king. So the law of sin and death kept her from the presence of her king. Whew. I said it was death to go behind the inner veil. It was death to go into the throne room. There was no rights there. And then Mordecai said, you was born for this purpose. You come to this message for this reason. Look what he's telling her. You're ordained for this hour. You was put in that position just for this cause. You was born to find favor in his sight. Can I tell you today, Happy Valley, you are not in this building by chance. You are not in this message by accident. You are here to escape death. You are here to walk behind the inner veil. You are here to be the Word made flesh. That's the reason I refuse to give my family to the devil. I got people in my family that ain't serving God like they need to, and some in organization, all kinds of nonsense, but I am an intercessor. But David, I don't like that. I'm not telling you that Abraham could make Lot bride because he couldn't do it. I'm not trying to take them, make them rapture ready. I'm saying they ain't got to be lost. I said they don't have to be lost. Your children doesn't have to be lost. Oh, Esther, recognize your collision course. Stand in the gap, Rahab. Stand in the gap for your children. Hallelujah. Cry out, grace, grace, grace. Oh God, what are you doing, Mordecai? What are you doing? Why are you sending these messages? I'm trying to awaken you to the reality of what you've been called to be. It's time to put the word into action. The Bible says it like this. I'm going to quit. I promise you. I could say that for the last 30 minutes, ain't I? That's all right. I'm having a good time. Church dismissed. Gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink these 3 days. And I and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. If I perish, I perish. If I die, let me die on the battlefield of the Lord. If I live, let me live. If I die, I've got to die. This is what I've been called to do. Something happens. These messages that she received from Mordecai, it awakens her to who she is. And now she's taking the initiative. She's telling him what she's going to do. She's telling him what we need to do. Notice it moved from prophet to prophecy. Came to pass during the third day, that Esther put on her royal apparel. And let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. Think of it, church. The evening light had come, and the bride was making preparation. Do you see it? I said we sing it all the time. The evening light had come, and now the bride was making preparation. The very garments that the king gave her, do you see this? She was wearing the gifts of the king. She was not dressed in a righteousness of her own. Hallelujah, somebody. This is not her righteousness. This ain't her works. This ain't her ability. Amen. What's she doing? Fulfilling the word. Paul said, let us boldly come to the throne of grace that we may obtain favor and find grace to help in the time of need. The third pool is life or death. That's just where we're at, church. This is either life or death. She doesn't have an invitation. She doesn't have a right. She's not being called. Amen. These guards, when she comes and she begins to walk down through there, the very men that she found favor on the side of, here she walks down through, the guards can cut her down at any moment. The law said that death is in effect. For the scripture said that the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The only thing that can save her is if the king extends his scepter. Hallelujah. The scepter is the only thing that can save her. His golden scepter. Listen, church. The scepter was just common wood overlaid with gold. It's kinsman wood, but it's overlaid with deity. Hallelujah. Don't you see it? Don't you see our Lord Jesus? He was common man, kinsman. He was kinsman to my body. He was a kinsman to your body. It was common flesh and bone. Amen. But overlaid with deity. Amen. He's our mediator. He's the mediator. Amen. Between the two. She walks in. Unannounced. She hasn't been asked. And the king, during this time, is still on his throne. That means mercy ain't over. Amen. That means mercy ain't over. But if it's mercy over, no, it's not over. If I believed that, I'd never preach another sermon. Mercy ain't over. If mercy's over, you wouldn't even be here. Amen, somebody. The scepter was a rod overlaid with gold. On top of the rod, it would have a symbol, and that symbol represents the kingdom. Whether it be a lion of the tribe of Judah, on top of that scepter, which represents that kingdom. And this scepter, oh my, once it becomes extended, the law is not in effect no more. That's my Savior right there. I said, that's my kinsman right there. The king extended the scepter. Think about it. She comes in before him. Him knowing his word, knowing his law. The first thing that he does is he extends that scepter. Don't you see? You should have died and I should have died. We ain't worthy. We didn't do nothing to make ourselves worthy. You wasn't born worthy. You didn't live worthy. You didn't live holy enough. You didn't live righteous enough. It ain't how much you pray, how much you read your Bible. It's because the king extended his scepter. And when he extends the scepter, think about this. The one he extends the scepter to is required to touch the head of the scepter. And now she approaches him. And what little faith she can muster, she pulls it up there and she reaches from her humanity and she touches this deity overlaid. Do you see it? And now God and this woman has a mediator between the two, and it's his scepter. She's glory to God. She's got a right to approach the king because of a mediator. And there's one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Jesus Christ. And then he says, what do you have need of, my queen? In other words, ask anything in my name, even up to half of my kingdom, and I'll give you whatever you have need of. Because of the scepter, she can ask what she will. King, you're my only way out of this. You're my only escape. You're my only hope. You're the only way I've got to get out of this trouble. Do you see it? This is the only way. My queen, what would you like? I want to have a feast with just me, you, and Haman, that old devil. Look at this church. Look at this woman. She comes to her position.
And she doesn't just reveal everything that this man's been doing, and Haman did this, and the devil did this, and the devil did that, and Haman did this, and that. Oh, no, no, no. She does it because it's got to be done right. She don't want to give the secret away entirely, but she's going to reveal it just ever so slowly. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. She asks what she wants. King, don't you understand? This man through deception. Can I tell you what he is? He's a devil. It's using the law of sin and death to try to destroy me and my family. And every Jew on a certain day, because of the devil proclamated it because of trickery. And the king says, Esther, I can't take my law back. I can't change my law. I've made a decree and I'm a king and I'm a just king. And I can't change my word for nobody. It looked hopeless. Hallelujah. And then the king says, Esther, whatever you want to be done, you write it. You write what you want it to be done. Glory to God. The law was there. And they call it the Feast of Purim, which is on a certain day. They would have a feast, even the Jews today, they celebrate a certain feast on a certain day because to recognize what Esther had done for her people. And it was on a certain day that every Jew was going to be killed. So when Esther makes this proclamation, now she's carrying the king's word in her. Hallelujah, somebody. And whatever she proclamates, the king stands behind what she says. Glory to God! What she says, the king must stand behind. Insomuch she had the king's seal upon her hand. And she writes down that on a certain day that Haman had made a decree by the law of the king, on a certain day the Jews was going to be killed. So on the day before, the Jews can defend themselves and kill any man that is apt to kill them. There was a law of sin and death. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Don't you see it, church? I was guilty, you was guilty. I want you to think about this. I'm quitting. Let our musicians come. Mordecai had already had a place prepared for him by Haman. And Haman was going to hang him. So he built some gallows to hang Mordecai. Glory. I said he built a trap to kill Mordecai. But when the mystery come open, hallelujah, hallelujah, it wasn't going to be Mordecai hanging on the gallows. But the one who brought the accusations. Come on, somebody. The accuser, the brother who brought the accusations, was going to face the judgment of what he proclamated. And Mordecai, think about it. Mordecai got set free and Haman got hung in the gallows that he had prepared for the prophet. Not only did Haman die at the gallows, but just in case there was a devil, his family tried to escape one of his sons, they hung all 10 of his sons right beside him. They died. But you see what we've come to. You realize, I ain't got time to go the rest of this. I'm sorry. We're just out of time. But you see the very parallel this day is that whenever the Jews was going to be killed in this day, do you realize that Hitler died and they hung 10 of his chief princes? They hung them. They hung them because their idea was kill the Jews. Don't you see God don't forget His word? He don't forget His word. Brother, if that's happening to the Jews, and the parallel, the spiritual parallel has ran to the Jews, what about the Esther? What about the Esther? When destiny collides with purpose, stand your feet with me. Amen.
Oh, don't you love Him? Don't you see God has elected and destined your course of life to come to this moment, to come to this place that would collide? And you would think, well, Brother David, ain't they going to make us weak? No, it made us stronger because it told who you was. Oh my. Praise be God. I give myself away. Amen. I give myself away. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Hallelujah. Come on, Esther, give yourself away. I give myself away so you can use me. Give myself. beloved sister, for this cause was you born. You was born for this moment in time. Esther, it's time to arise. Hallelujah.
Father, a while ago, he said he was in your service and praying for the salvation of his children. He said that on the way home, his wife had told him that Braxton had been talking to her about baptism. So that really settled home in his heart that he wants to be baptized. So let's just pray with my brother. Heavenly Father, what a timely message, Lord, for a timely event this morning. Lord, as my brother was reading Esther 2:15, and said it was Esther's turn to come before the king. Lord, this morning's Brother Braxton's turn. Lord, it's his turn to come through the sanctification and justification, Lord. Lord, as our brother was reading, Lord, it's his turn, Lord, as he comes out of this watery grave, Father. We pray, Lord, that he would enter the chamber of Haggai, Lord. That he may be dressed. Lord, that he would stand still and let the word, Lord, just develop his whole life, Father. Lord, from this day forward, Lord, may he have that desire, Lord, even at a young age, Father. You're the one that puts desire there, Lord. It's nothing that we conjure up, Lord, or work up, Father. Lord, you're not a respecter of age, Father. So I pray this morning, Lord, as we baptize our brother, Lord, that you would come and live in that old place down in his heart and his soul, Father. Molding and shaping, Father. And we thank you for that. Brother Braxton is commissioned in Acts 2:38. I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Purifying Esther for the kingdom. Can you imagine the angels standing around saying, there's another one. There's another one that's ready. There's another one. By the preaching of the word this morning, God was taking the clothes of his word. Going, now Esther, just stand still. Just stand still a little longer. I'm going to dress you in the robe of my righteousness. But Lord, can't I just wear what I got? No. Your life won't work. Your abilities won't work. It's going to take my life upon you, Esther. That's what you need. That's what you got to have. And he, God, is going to make sure that you're dressed exactly the way you need the dress. That you got the right garment on, you're ready to walk before the presence of the King. Don't you see, church? That's where you're at this hour. You've come to this moment. You've been destined for this time. Don't let somebody try to talk you out of it. Well, you ain't nothing. You ain't nobody. Oh, I believe it's greater than that today. I believe there's a source behind my life. Not just to be here. Not just to go to church. Not just to say you went to church when he... Oh, no, brother and sister. It's because when this life is over, I've got a body that's already eternal in the heavens. Matter of fact, not only is it eternal from the heavens, but when God sent me this message, I heard from that body. And Brother Ransom, when Esther recognized this message to be eagle food, she heard from her theophany. And then what happened after she heard from it, she put it on and walked into the presence of the King. Oh, I just love him with all my heart. He's got it all in control. Let's sing this just before we go. Ain't been good, ain't you? Just glad you got to come to church. Hey. Praise God. Amen. Appreciate you letting me preach two messages in one today. He's got it all.